Feel comfortable to comment, feel comfortable to shoot some hearts every now and then. We can't hear you physically, but let your words, let your expressions be felt through the World Wide Web. We're going to continue this series. We started off last week talking about who is this God? Who is this awesome God that we pray to and talk about and talk to all of the time? And what we discovered on last week is that the one of the first things you find out about him, and it's in the beginning of the whole entire biblical layout of God in this library that we call a Bible, the first thing we find out about God is that he's a skillful God. We found that out in Genesis 1:1, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it literally meant before there was a beginning, there was God. And his awesomeness and all-knowing and all-powerful God, he's just that kind of God. And we just talked about that last week, about how God is God, and there is no other besides him. There is none before him, and there will be none after him. That he is the only creator. We talked about that last week. And this week, we wanted to continue that same mindset and flow into the same discussion. So tonight we're going to come from Isaiah 46. We're going to do verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. And it says this. It says, remember the former things, those long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. And the second thing we want to talk about, after we talked about last week, he's skillful. The first thing we're going to talk about tonight is that he's sovereign, that he is the entire being of God, and there is none other like him. It's amazing because today we've seen how the political process in America works, and how we saw a political candidate that is running for the office of president. He's chosen his running mate, and it's no confirmation that she will be the next vice president, because there's an election that has to happen and there's things that have to go on. But if she doesn't get voted in, if Kamala Harris doesn't make the ticket, if Joe Biden doesn't make the appointment, we learn about God that he is the one that is the sovereign God. He is the one that no matter what is going on in the world, he is sovereign. He is the only God. He's sovereign. That word sovereign is brought from the root word is super, is that he super reigns, that he reigns above all. And this word sovereign, and it really helps define a lot of the realities of what God is. And let me pause and go back into last week's lesson a little bit. Last week, we talked about how God is this God, that he's a God of revelation, that he's not a God of intellect. And we talked about how God cannot be explained in a intellectual, educational manner in which he can be understood, because then the person that has less understanding of God will not catch who God is, because they're too focused on what they were not educated enough to be able to handle. But that's not who God is. God says, I'm not caught up in the intellect of you. What I do is I reveal myself, and that reveal is to pull back the cover and let it shine on who I really am. And what we talked about last week is that God, even in his skillfulness, shows you how skillful he is, even in his creation of the heavens and earth. But then not only that, we come back into this and talk about the sovereignness of God. And God says that I'm so sovereign that my people have to describe me different, because there are some people that think that they have power. Mm-hmm. That there are some people that think that they have authority. It's some people that think that their word carries a little bit of weight, and that what they say matters and can counsel and control your everyday life. But God says, if you follow me, I'm going to make you understand who this is that you're following. It ain't shouting you yet. It's not tickling your intellect yet, because some of us are missing what we're really trying to say. And the problem with some of us is that you've elevated your problems, you've elevated your mindset, you've elevated your philosophy, and intertwined it with what you think about your issue. But God says, but what God has shown us is that it's not the issue that's the problem. It's the fact that you're not focusing enough on who he is, mm-hmm, and understanding the power in which he carries to be God. See, the problem with most of us is that we struggle with trying to figure out where God is and what God is doing and how God is going to do it. But the truth of the matter is, God says, I'm God, and I'm God all by myself. I don't need no help. I don't need no backup. I don't need to call anybody to fill in for me. I am he who was and is to come. I am him. I am the one that reigns and rules in all of your life. Watch this. COVID didn't catch me by surprise. I knew from ancient times. It's right here in the text. Let me put it back up. It's right here in the text. He says it right here. He says that I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, and what is still to come. You worried about what God can do and what God know and where God was at when you're dealing with what you're going through. But the truth of the matter is, God says, I am he who was. I can reign and rule over all of the stuff that you're struggling and trying to figure out what's going on. You're trying to figure out where God is. And God says, I've been here the whole time. And watch this. If he's a sovereign God, if he's a God that does not need but only accepts what you give him, because he says, even without you, I can be God. See, and the problem is that most of us struggle because we feel like other things have rule and reign in our life. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the problem is that we pay attention to what the news covers, but we don't pay attention to what God covers. Uh-huh. See, we hear what the news anchors are saying and what the media is trying to put out. But are you hearing what God is saying? Have you heard the last word of God? Have you heard the last move of God? Have you heard what God is trying to attempt to make done in your life? Or are you worried about what people are trying to say to you in your ear? Faith comes by hearing, and you can't get faith because what you're hearing is not what you think that you should be holding on to. And God says, I'm sovereign. I don't need no help. I don't need any backup. I don't need anybody, because I am he and I am God all by myself. Watch this. Let me bless you real quick. Because God, the children of Israel were so meticulous in how they dealt with God, because He was so reverent to them, they didn't even want to call his name. They put letters in his name that they didn't even have in their alphabet, so they couldn't even communicate to him. Which is why, even in time that they were in captivity, they had a level of clarity to understand where God was and what God was doing, because they felt like, you know, we have a king. Y'all have a king. We were conquered by a king, but I don't worship a king. Mm-hmm. I don't worship a Pharaoh. I don't worship stuff. I don't worship. See, what you don't understand is, it's not about who's in the White House. Mm-hmm. It's not about who's the person that's controlling and maintaining and trying to corrupt your view and philosophy of belief and religion and mindset and all of this other stuff. God says, I am not just your king. Mm-hmm. No, because kings die out. I'm not your president. I'm not your president because they serve terms. I'm not the person that I'm not the principal, because the principal has to get a renewed contract. I'm not the superintendent because he gets voted in by a board. I'm not any of that. And what they had to do, because they could not ascribe any definition to who he was, what they said was, he's not a king. They called him the King of Kings. Y'all don't want to hear me. He's not a Lord. He's a Lord of Lords. He's above the highest rank that you can give anybody. He is above that. And the problem that most of us have is that we try to ascribe something to God that God says that I'm above all of this stuff. I reign. Watch this. I supreme reign. Watch this. What is that? What does that word sovereign mean? Google. What does that word sovereign actually mean? Google says this, is that it means a supreme ruler, especially a monarch. It's literally that minarch. It's literally that I'm by myself. And if I'm not confined to time and I'm not in time, then I have to be one that operates outside of time. Which means what? Whatever you're dealing with, God says, because I'm not subject to what your sleep schedule is and your waking up and going to sleep and the sun, because the sun tells you when day and night is, and I control the sun. I am God outside of time, space, and matter. I'm standing outside of that. And outside of that, I can see. I can see what you're going through, and I can handle what you're going through because I'm not subject to what you're dealing with. Woof. See, that's why I praise God. That's why I shout. That's why I get excited about, because God is trying to do something new in this season. And what he's trying to tell us is that you have to get past all of this stuff and all of these people and all of the stuff that you're trying to struggle with and deal with and trying to go through with. And he's saying, you have to get past all of the stuff and let me reign the way that I reign. See, some of us are struggling in our everyday life because we don't appreciate the sovereignness of God. And because you don't understand God. See, most of us have a problem. Most of us have a problem with God's no. See, that's why I knew I was going to get a problem in. Because the issue is that most of us struggle with trying to get with the no's from God, but you have no problem when he's saying yes. And the fact of the matter is that God is so God. He's like the one that sits high and looks low. He's the parent. He's the adult figure in your life, that he comes into your situations and he literally does what most of our parents told us that we hated. And you say, God, why do I have to go through this? And he said, because I said so. Y'all don't want to talk to me. And God is so sovereign that because he said so has to be good enough for you. Because he said so has to be good enough to get you in your life. And we sing these songs, but don't understand the reality of what they actually mean. We sing the song, Ride On King Jesus. No man cannot hinder me. But the truth of the matter is that it's not the other man that hinders you. It's your relationship with God and allowing him to be who he is. He's sovereign. He reigns all by himself. He super reigns. He's so God that when they got ready to ascribe something to him, and Moses asked him a question on Exodus 3:14 at the burning bush, he says, who do I tell Pharaoh sent me? He said, tell him I am that I am. See, we talk about, we like to talk about this meek and humble and quiet and corner living God that lets you do what you want to and lets you live the life you want to live and the experiences you want to experience, and don't let this happen to you, don't let that happen to you, and he holds you from all of this stuff. But he is the same kind of God that has the kind of power that can come back and say, I don't have to check with nobody. I don't have to do, if somebody as powerful as Pharaoh asks you who name you coming in, tell him, I am that I am. I am whatever you think that is, that is more powerful than you, then I am that. See, and that's the problem we have, because we don't have anything that has absolute power and reign in our life. So we struggle with certain things in our life because we seek something for power. Vashawn Mitchell wrote this song a couple of years ago. We sung it, but I don't think we actually understood it. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody greater, because I've tried some other stuff. Y'all didn't come for Bible study to be able to tie into this into that manner. Y'all didn't want to come talking about how you tried other stuff and you looked for other things to fulfill you in a way that God has been standing now ready to satisfy you in. You sitting here looking for all kinds of stuff and tried all kinds of things, and you've done all of this stuff and you don't even understand. The fact of the matter is that at the end of the day, God says, I was standing here the whole time. I'm not new to this. I'm true to it. I've been here standing at the back of the line waiting on you to try all of this other stuff. So when you get through with all of that, when you try the people, when you try the drugs, when you try the alcohol, when you try the talking about people, when you try gossiping, when you try lying, when you try front, when you got tired of getting blasted, when you get all of that out of your life, when you got sick of numbing the pain, woo, and realize that I can take the pain away, woo, help me, Holy Ghost. I am the one that has been standing here the whole time. And watch this. What had you bound answers to me. Y'all don't want to talk to me. You going through phases, and I'm saying that I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You got all of this stuff. You've built up walls. You had to try to carnally understand where God was. You tried to tell people how God was dealing with what you had going on. You tried to lie your way out of it. You tried to steal your way out of it. You tried to manipulate people. And seeing the problem with most of us is, and I know I'm talking about God, but I got to bring it down to make us understand it. And the problem with most of us is that we've developed a generation, a culture, a mindset that is addicted to conviction and have developed an allergic reaction to conversion. I'm talking better than y'all typing. Most of us have adapted this addiction, this love to be told that we're wrong. That you know you shouldn't be doing this, you know you shouldn't be handling that, you know you shouldn't be doing this, you know you should, you know, you want to get up and the preacher to beat you and hug you at the same time. You got friends and they only your real friends if they tell you what you like to hear. But at the same time, they got to make sure that you're walking in the right path. And then at the same time, you've become addicted to conviction. Mm-hmm. You want to be told what you're doing wrong. But conversion is your allergic reaction. That change is what you've run from. And watch this. What you're really struggling with is you want to have connection with God, but don't want to have relationship with him. You want to stay close enough to make sure that you know that what you're doing is wrong and you feel wrong for doing it, but you don't want to have the power to stop doing it. Man, I didn't ran into some stuff today that y'all ain't carrying it with me. That most of us struggle because not because of other people, but you've become addicted to conviction. That you want people to stand there and tell you what you did was right or what you did was wrong, but you don't want them to hold you to a standard that you would serve a sovereign God. And I was asked by a pastor about an hour ago now, it's 7:30 now, it was about 6:30 then. And she asked me, what do you feel like this evangelism mindset, how are we going to take evangelism into this next season of our life? And I said, it's the same way that we've been doing it the whole time, but we actually have to take the fakeness out of it. And because if the only God people are going to see is going to come through your phone and TV screen and the stuff that you're doing in church, what you're doing in the grocery store and the places that you go, because you don't feel comfortable enough to get close enough to people to hand them tracts and postcards and invite them to be a part of your ministry. But you can't invite people to your church and invite them to ministry and to get a relationship with this sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful, self-sustaining God. If the last post you put before you shared the Bible study was about how you listened to the new song, y'all don't want to talk about the new song. I ain't going to go there. Y'all don't want to hear me. But you cannot tie two worlds together and act as if they can coexist together, because people will call you fake and phony because they don't understand that you have been addicted to the conviction, but you don't want to change from what you've been doing. And a sovereign God requires change, because you cannot walk with this God and have your own mindset and dilemmas and stuff that you want to do. Because soon as you get into this situation where you change from the conversion that you've had with God and fall into this conviction mindset, you stop the relationship you had with God working the way that you had it. Come here, Adam. I got Bible to put in this thing. Adam, in Genesis, the Bible says that as soon as Adam ate of the fruit, God showed up at his normal time to walk through the garden with Adam. And then when Adam had ate of the fruit, God says, Adam, where are you? He says, I'm hiding. He said, why are you hiding? He said, because I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? Adam said, I ate of the fruit of good and evil, the fruit, the tree that you told me not to eat from. I did exactly what you told me not to do. And God, we see it right there. You stopped showing up for the relationship with God because you went on a route to do something that you shouldn't have done. I tell people all the time, sin might not separate you in a belief system mindset. The initial sin might not separate you in initial mindset from the relationship with God. But what it does do is make you uncomfortable to get too close to Him. Mm-hmm. Because when Adam stepped out and introduced sin into the garden, he didn't stop talking to God. He stopped walking with God. Well, y'all, that was, I went the long way around to take you all the way to there. Is that when you start doing your own thing, you can still talk to God, but the walk gets a little funny. Worship and praise. You start walking with God and start talking to Him because you feel more comfortable if there's some distance between you and God. And the problem we have is that with this sovereign God, if we understand that He's sovereign, that anything you did and turned to that was not Him was less than what you had. And I need two or three people that's watching me that will say, I just came to get close to you. I don't need lesser. I need more of you. I need a better relationship. I need a better walk with you. And I refuse to choose stuff that's less than what I had before. Because He's a sovereign God. Not only that, I got another one. I got another one. Then we're going to be out of here. I got another one. This the last one. I'm through for the night. Not only is he skillful, he's sovereign. But then the third one we're gonna go over tonight is that he's selfish. He's a selfish God. He's selfish God. Just to be close to you, he's a selfish God. He's selfish. It's right here in Exodus 5 says this: "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." I am a jealous God. He's selfish. Not only is he skillful, not only is he sovereign, but he's selfish. And see, selfishness is a trait that most people don't like to have. But what God is literally saying is that I want you to understand something about this jealousy God, this God that's jealous. And he says it right here. Let me read it one more time. The first part of this verse says, For the Lord your God am a jealous God. The first time God, see, we describe God in a lot of ways. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's my tail wiper. He's my back scratcher. He's my head rubber. He's my way out of nowhere. He's my bright and morning star. He is my, come on, y'all. He's a lawyer. The old folks say he's a lawyer in the courtroom, a doctor in the sick room. He's a lawyer that never lost a case. He's a doctor that never lost a patient. They would say all of these things, but that's how they describe him. But what do you say about yourself? What do you say about you, God? He says, I'm a selfish God. I'm jealous. I get jealous. I don't like you playing with other people. I don't like you doing other stuff that don't benefit where we trying to go. I don't want you creating other stuff to toy with when it's your time to be with me. I'm a jealous God. Why am I going through what I'm going through? Have you cheated on Him? Mm-hmm. Have you done something that stood in the way of the relationship you have with God? Because some of our problems can be traced to that one simple word. He's jealous. God, why would you let me get in this? Because I don't like you doing that. You prayed for a job. You got the job. They asked you to work Sundays. I can work anytime y'all want me to. You come to church and shout about the new job. But then as soon as you have to choose between God and the job, you put something in the front of Him. Mm-hmm. You put your children in the front of God. You put people in the front of God. You put stuff in the front of God. You put your house, your cars, your grass. You got to cut your grass. We go to brunch because in this mimosa's in at 2. So if I go to church, it's going to cut into my mimosa time. You got your, come on, y'all know the mimosas is endless till 2. You got live music you want to go to. We got to travel. Now this is what gets me. You'll take off to stay at home, but then you'll miss church because you got to go somewhere. You plan your life around everything but God. You know, the series that can be taught at the church can be the life-changing word you need. But as soon as something comes up, I'll catch them next week. They'll be there next week. The church will be there next week. He's a jealous God. He don't like you playing with other people. We've demonized this jealousy spirit. And the problem is that a certain level of it can be healthy because God says even he's a jealous God. Now, I don't have to be a jealous person, but I don't want to see you flirting with everybody. No. See, the problem is that the children of Israel had this mindset that they could go and worship other stuff. They felt like we could have a little God. We could have a little bell. We could have a little cow. We can worship a little all of this other stuff. And then the problem with that was God says, I don't want you fooling with none of them. Because when you with me, you need to be with me. Because I'm a jealous God. And the problem I'm having is that y'all keep playing with me. Y'all don't. See, it's hard to have. I don't want to go there. Y'all don't make me go there tonight. I'm trying to be good. We're on Facebook. You can't do certain stuff and still say you in a relationship with a jealous person. I listen to radio. I listen to radio a lot. I like the self-help letters where they mail in the letter and then the radio show host reads them and gives their advice. One of my favorites is the Shirley Strawberry letter on the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I love it a lot. And one of the letters they read recently talked about a man that was jealous. He was afraid she was cheating on him. And he was willing to do anything to stop her from cheating on him. And the problem is that most of us, it struggle because we feel like he was wrong, but his actions was wrong. But his mindset was right. Because his mindset was, if you with me, you only with me. Mm-hmm. You can't find yourself and be with me. You can't say that you are walking with me and still be flirting with them. You cannot have relationship with me and be tied to them at the same time as if we don't have relationship with each other. There should never be somebody else that has to look at you and say, I thought you went to church. You shouldn't be in this situation. Because watch this. You say, I don't want to do this until I'm ready to get right. But God says, until you get right, you won't be ready to do it. Until you give up hot girl summer. That's where I wanted to go. Until you get ready to let go of all of the stuff that you ready to ball out and clown with. And if every now and then some of the stuff that you catch yourself wanting to do. Come here, Paul. The stuff I want to do, I find myself not doing. The stuff I don't want to do is the stuff I find myself doing. Because that old man has a way of creeping up on you. Come on, Sheila, you right there with me. You can't be a Christian and got them entanglements. Mm-hmm. You cannot be tied up in entanglement and have a write down religion. Because he's selfish. You can't have this Johnny Taylor religion. Your body's here with me, but your mind's on the other side of town. Why? Because he is a selfish God. You cannot have this double Dutch jumping in, jumping out, relationship with God. Well, one day you sold out and you crying out to God and asking him if he get you out of this, you'll never do it again. And the next day that you've perfected it because you no longer practicing the sin, now you so good at tearing it up. You cannot have that and have right relationship. See, the problem is that you keep acting like you out here doing this stuff and as if he left you. If you're in this pandemic, if you're in this season where the coronavirus has shifted everyone on this entire earth's mindset and lifestyle, if you're sitting here today and you feel like and you don't know where God is, I can promise you one thing. He ain't leave you. You left him. You went into the pandemic talking about you were going to look over some stuff, and what the pandemic has made you do is look at what you've been looking over. And he said you're going to have to pick one or the other. Why? Because he's a selfish God. The Israelites had all of this stuff that they were trying to maintain and keep. And the problem wasn't them. It was the people that they were fooling with. And when you fool with people, you toy with people. And then when you toy with them, sooner or later, the stuff that they into trickle down on you. And it wasn't until you got around them people that you started doing all of this crazy stuff that they was doing. And you didn't realize that you was a part of what they was a part of until you started dealing with them. And the problem is that most of us struggle with this selfish God because we want to share. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to share. And watch this. You would think at this point that I'm talking about and I'm dealing with and I'm deciding to discuss this thing from a place of perfection. No. God never required that. He didn't require perfection. He didn't require perfection because he knew it was going to mess up. He would not be a God that I could serve if he didn't know I would mess up. But because he's a God that I can serve and he's the God, I can sit back and say, God, you knew me and I didn't mean to do that. Because as big as he is jealous, he is forgiving. I'm through. I can't go no farther. Because if we keep trying, because people that don't try to use against God, that he's a jealous God, but then they don't talk about that part. He says that he's going to, it's right here in the Bible. They ain't making it up. They not lying on it. He said right here that I'm a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation, to those who hate me. You would think as if that's a hate speech. You would think that a selfish God and that's what makes him a bad person. But what he's literally saying is that if you don't choose God and become sold out for him and start speaking against him and not following his commands and his rules, then your children's children will have to live with the decisions that you make because he's going to let them keep going down the route you went in, which is why you cannot... You can't shout in tongues and cuss in English and at the children and cussing the children out and acting like the same time you saying you're going to be the next president of the United States and 2 minutes later calling them dumb as a box of rocks. You cannot do that because it flows down and they feel like the power of God only works when you're in the building because that's the only time we see the best part of you. He's a jealous guy. He's jealous. He don't like you playing with other stuff. He don't like you playing with other people. And when he says it's enough, then that's enough. See, we sing this song. I've been running for Jesus a long time and I'm not tired yet. I ran from him. And when I got tired of running from him, you know what he did to me? He yanked my chain. Yep, I was running from him, and he made me get fired from a job that I liked it, the job. I wanted to be at the job, but what he did was did me like a dog on a chain. He grabbed a hold to the chain, and he pulled me back in, and when he pulled me back in, y'all know what he said? Can you hear me now? You out there, you doing what you ain't supposed to do. You talking about what you ain't supposed to be talking about. Can you hear me now? Now, I told you to go preach, and you told me you wasn't ready yet. Now you ain't got no money. Can you hear me now? And that's how God does with us, is that he takes things that you trying to figure out and trying trying to fix and trying to move and trying to make it work the way you want it to make it work. He said, and he'll grab you. And he said, can you hear me now? You wanted to have hot girl summer? Now you got baby bump in January. Can you hear me now? You wanted to go through a phase and now you tied to somebody you wanted to block on your phone. Can you hear me now? You wanted to get drunk. Now you passed out. And now you're trying to figure out what happened when you can't remember. Can you hear me now? You going through all of this stuff, picking it as if it has more power than the sovereign God. And you're talking to people as if they have more skills than the skillful God. And now you're sitting here talking about, and he says, can you hear me now? Because you picked all of this other stuff. But can you hear me now? You act like all of this other stuff had more power and more potency. And what he's doing is saying you need to pull it back, because the top priority in my life should be to be in right relationship with God, not other people, not other stuff, not all of these graven images. Oh, y'all don't have graven images. Let me pause and rewind and pull that back, because what he was talking to them about, they were building images to worship and building things that was going to make. But this is the craziest part about us today. We're not building golden calves and putting them up on pedestals and worshiping the calf that we built. No, we're not doing that. What we do is we pray for the blessing, we get the blessing, and then choose, watch this, what he gave us over him. You choose what he's blessed you with and take the blessing and leave the blesser behind. You ask for the job, he give you the job, you choose the job over him. You ask for the job, he give you the job, and you choose not to pay tithes from the job that he gave you, and he didn't even ask you for all of the money from the job he gave you. Mm-hmm. You choose the stuff. You pray for a relationship. You got the relationship. You pray for a good man, a good woman, and God gave you that good man, good woman. And now you appreciate them because you had some bad ones. So now we need to discuss how to keep the good ones. And now you got this good person. And now this good person wants to do something different on Sunday morning besides church. And you said, God, you gave them to me. I'm going over here today and do this. And you was badly in when you was in, but you was a prayer warrior because you needed something from him. And instead of you tying down and locking down with him, you lose God because of the stuff he's given you. And the problem is, he's a jealous God. He don't play. He don't toy with you. He don't double dutch with you. He says, I've been standing here the whole time. The Bible says it like this. It says, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. But you got to get up and let him in. And the great thing about when you let God in your life is that he comes. And the Bible says in Revelations that when he knocks on the door, when you open the door, he sets a table before you, which means the roles transfer, that he takes over in your life. In Romans, he says, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service, which is the least you can do. You act like being loyal to God is the top. That's the least you can do. The least you can do is say, God, I don't have to, but I want to. Can I afford to give my tithes? You can't afford not to give them. Why? Because he's a jealous God. You see, the question is asked in Malachi, and we quote that all the time. Will a man rob God? But before that, what they're talking about is, God, how can we get back in right relationship with you? And he says, you left me. When did we leave you? By robbing me. You started. See, and it's about, the text is about currency changing hands. But what it's really about is about the comfortability of being unfair to God. And most of us struggle because we've become unfair to God. Because we want to do us and leave him out of it. And because he's not standing there looking at you in your face, you feel comfortable saying God can wait. But God says, I'm standing here. And watch this, y'all. I was looking at some stuff about tithes and offering, and I was looking in the Bible about what the Bible said about it. But God started speaking to me about some stuff. And what he showed me about tithes and offering is that he says that that the problem is that people think they're giving it to the church. No, you're giving it through the church. You're giving it to God. Because the church, our church, I don't know, I can't testify for anybody else's ministry. We don't check W-2s and W-4s. We don't check 1099s. We don't make sure that what you're giving and saying that it's a tithe is a tenth of your gross, not your net, your gross. And what God says is that if they don't mind lying to me, why do you think they would feel honest enough to tell you the truth? And they'll lie to me, and I'm jealous. I didn't got in this thing deeper than what I wanted to. Is that if they won't give me a tenth of the hundred that I gave them, why do you think that this would become? See, and people want to justify. Well, it's what the church doing with the money? How the church handling the money? What the preacher got with the money? What all of this and this. God says, none of that is what I was talking about, because you've turned it to be about them. But this is about me and you taking from me. And because I'm a jealous God and you're not understanding what and how I'm handling the situation. And watch this, y'all. Y'all think I'm talking about money. But God says, treasure's where the heart lies. That you are struggling because if God can't get your money, he sure can't get your heart. And most of us struggle with this jealous God because he came to the relationship with some issues because he was upset at how you was treating him because you was treating him shady.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Y'all supposed to be in love and you keep introducing him as your friend. Let me tell you about my friend, but he's just not my friend. He's my God. See, when people ask you, how did you make it to where you are? You want to tell people I'm self-made, but God said, no, baby, you remember them knee prays that you did? That when you was crying in the middle of the night and saying people don't recognize the gifts and goals you have in your life? That was me that answered. And I have a problem because I'm jealous because you're taking my credit. I'm through. Because some of us struggle with following and appreciating where God is and what he is doing in our own personal life, because we end up forgetting that sometimes we get shortchanged by God. We feel as if we got shortchanged by God because of what he is doing in our life. And sometimes the struggles that we are going through are self-made storms. Why did I have to get COVID? Well, let's not act as if getting a disease is the absence of God's presence. Sometimes you should shout that you wasn't on the ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because he is a jealous God. Sometimes you need to learn how to praise God for the stuff that he didn't let happen. Because when you cheated and when you lied and when you schemed and when you hid, and Adam, when you were hiding in the bushes because you had did something that you should not have done, and you ended up in a wrong situation, you forgot that he was a jealous God. And when you remembered, and you don't think about it until he show up again. And when he showed back up, you wasn't ready for the walk. You just wanted to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's a jealous God. I feel like shouting off all of this stuff. I don't think y'all catch where I'm coming from. See, the top priority in my life has to be the right relationship with him. And I refuse to do anything. Come here, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I believe it's in it's in Romans 8. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. Not no money, not no people, not my children, not my wife. If anything comes in between me and God, it got to move. Because watch this. Anything that comes between me and God is an agent of Satan. Because God doesn't want me away from him. I was created to do this stuff for him. I'm through. I'm sorry, y'all. Sorry I kept y'all this long. I'm at a place in my life that if God is a jealous God, I don't want to give him no reason to question my loyalty. I want to quote the song so bad, but the first word is something I can't even quote on Facebook. They ain't loyal. That's what the devil went up to tell God in Job. They ain't loyal. These ain't loyal. They ain't loyal. They ain't keeping your commandments. He ain't doing all of this stuff. He ain't loyal. I'm sorry. I'm through. If you want to be a partner at the Victory Community Church, thank y'all. I love y'all. Thank y'all for joining us tonight. Those that are here in the comments, shoot us some hearts. Thank y'all. We gonna finish this lesson next week. We have three more to go over. We're going to try to do all three next week. I wish I had a better way of ending it, but I really just want to holler that I just want to be with him. I just want to be in relationship with God. That's what I want. I want to be in right relationship with God. I don't want nobody to tell me about nothing that ain't nobody handling and what ain't nobody doing and how these other people are living and how they prospering and how they got their stuff. I'm going to live by what this book, this library, this collection of books has developed and taught me how to live. I'm going to live the way he taught me to live. And I ain't never had a bad day living by this book. As the song said, every day is a day of thanksgiving. If you want to be a part, text this number. Join Victory to 833-489-7279. 833-489-7279. I promise you, Victory is the best place to be. We love you. We love everybody at the Victory Community Church. Partners, thank you all. Tomorrow night, I'm trying to get out of here, y'all, and I really am. Tomorrow night, we have a weekly prayer call tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on Zoom. We'll be posting that all day tomorrow. Join us for Zoom. On Zoom for our weekly prayer call. It's been powerful every week. I promise y'all, God is moving. God is doing something. Sundays. Oh my God. Sundays at 10 a.m. These have been powerful times. I've been preaching to me on Sundays. This series has increased my capacity and changed my view set and mindset when it comes to all of this stuff that we're dealing with in this time and this season. We talking about increase. That one word, increase. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory every Sunday at 10 a.m. We right here. Meet us next Tuesday, 7 o'clock, right here. We'll be finishing at least doing the next two of the Isness of God. Who is this God? Last but not least, thank you all again for joining. I see y'all in the comments. I love y'all so much. I miss gathering in the same room. I got this shirt the other day. I had to wear it. My wife gonna kill me. Sarcasm, just one of my many talents. If y'all know me, y'all know I like to be sarcastic. Don't judge me for the night. That's just one of my shirts I love to wear. Lastly, let's present our gifts. We've had the preaching. We've had the praise. Lastly, let's do the presentation of our gifts. You can give multiple ways. You can give via PayPal, Givelify, Cash App. We ask everybody to give a minimum of $20. If this is your week to tithe, you didn't get a chance to tithe on Sunday, you can tithe tonight. You can give these ways. Understand this, because we are in a technology world where everything is at your fingertips. If you forget to give tonight, if you forgot to give Sunday, remember, our technology is available 24/7. You can give on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sunday. I promise you, it will get counted towards your weekly giving. You don't have to wait till Sundays or Tuesdays to give your offerings. We normally give a minimum of $20 a piece on Tuesdays. We just ask that you do that and maintain that. If you have, let me give this little public service announcement. If you have two devices, you can view us on one device, and then you can still give and still be in the room. If you got an iPad, watch us on your iPad, give from your phone. You can still be in touch. We'll be right here with us. You'll be able to give and be a part of the worship service and never miss a beat. Let's do our declaration, and then we're going to pray and we out. Let's do it. We ask that you quote it out loud if you're not in the grocery store and people not going to be looking at you crazy. But I'm believing this. Let me say this, and I'm through. Let me say this. I believe that in this series, we are claiming increase. And I'm not just claiming increase in my financial life, because that's too small of God. I'm claiming increase in every area of my life. I made this declaration. I've been saying it every morning. Right after I prayed the prayer of Jabez, I've been praying the prayer of Jabez every day for the entire month of August. I pray it every morning when I get up, and I pray it again when I go to bed. And right after I pray it, y'all, I say these words: I'll never be broke another day in my life. I never have to check a bank account to go out and eat somewhere. I'll never have to do it. Why? Because I'm living by that principle that I'm going to be and live and increase. So let's do our declaration together. Because God loves to see me prosper, I am believing him for jobs and better jobs. God loves to see me prosper, I'm believing him for jobs and better jobs. Sorry, y'all. Advancements, raises and bonuses, God ideas and strategies, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessings and increases, financial freedom, and breakthroughs. I love y'all. Let's pray when we go on out of here. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you, God, as we prepare to separate and go our separate ways. God, we ask that you can keep us, that